to you with more love in this 10-week doctrinal time of teaching, this 10-week time, than I've ever preached to you, and more truth. Not that I have not preached truth in the past, but this truth comes down to our lives, and it comes down to making us qualified in the eyes of God. Now, you have to be careful when you say that, because we don't come to God by works. Works are something that you can't work hard enough or do enough. But works are also a sign, though, that you are doing something for the Lord, and there's fruit that comes with works. Paul makes this all very clear when he speaks to us and teaches us. Though we don't live our Christian walk by works, we also understand, though, that there are things that we do that puts us in the area of being qualified by God for blessing. You can disqualify yourself for blessing. If you believe that, say amen. And you can qualify yourself for blessing. This morning I read the message to you, or the introduction of a series of 10 messages I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to read only one paragraph tonight again, and I'll be reading different paragraphs over the next few weeks. You'll get to know this well. Now, I offered you something that I've never done before, but I offered you a copy of my outline. This is it. And I understood that the demon of copy machines jumped in ours. It does regularly. And broke, and so I'm going to give that to this lady, and she's going to copy those tomorrow. And there's quite a list back. There's 2 pages of lists of people that are asking for this outline. And you're going to see the next 10 messages that I'm going to be preaching in the time that I'm preaching. It might be interrupted with other activities, but 10 messages for 2014. 2014, God has given me the theme for this year. I told you 2 years ago it was the wheat and the chaff. We separate things from our life that God doesn't want us to have in our life in order to be whole grain kernels of wheat that can be ground into flour and made into healthy bread for people to use. You see, I don't believe in my life, I don't believe that we were saved just to sit around and gain and get. I think we were saved to give. Anybody else believe that? Say amen. And I believe God saved us to be used. When I was talking to the Lord one time, he said, do you want to be a pond or do you want to be a fountain? He said, a pond takes everything that'll come to it, all the rain and everything else too. But in dry times, it grows algae and becomes just a scum-covered pot of water. But a fountain always gives, not afraid to flow, because there's going to be an ample supply following what comes out of it. And a fountain, a spring, is clean, and it cleans out itself, and it gives constantly. And I begin to realize that I've never received anything from God that he wanted me to keep. He didn't give me love to keep love. He gave me love to give love. He didn't give me mercy just to hoard mercy in my life. He gave me mercy to show mercy. He gave me forgiveness so I could understand the importance of giving forgiveness to others. Kindness so I could be kind. Love, mercy, all the fruit of the Spirit he gave me so I could in turn give back to others. He gave me compassion, and he has compassion on you and I, so that we would have compassion on others. When I asked God in last year, he said, make it commitment. And so last year, we worked on committing our lives. Once we clean things out of our life, secondly, we begin to commit our lives to the Lord in a new and fresh way. Not based on the definition of commitment by the world or by the church world today, but based on a definition of commitment in obedience and sacrifice and love to God. In 2014, It was right to the end of the year, and I was praying, and God showed me what he was going to do for us. It's a bold step, but I believe that he's been right in every one of his words to me. In fact, I know he is. And so I'm giving you this word and giving you these 10 messages that you can grow, and it's going to revolutionize your life. It's going to change you in a way you've never been changed before. If you'll listen to what I'm preaching, these next 10 messages, and you'll take them to your heart. 2014 is the year of recovery. It means much more than just getting back what Satan has taken. It means claiming territory that has been given to you, but territory that you have not yet laid claim to. Recovery means more than just what you're aware of. It means what is yours. Freedom, power, confidence, spiritual exploits, new wealth, new health, divine joy, provision, spiritual discernment, boldness, and a manifestation or manifesting power of the Holy Ghost in your life like you've never experienced before. In the same way, we have to understand that the enemy has a plan too. And we must be aware of the enemy's plans. Change is occurring much faster than you're aware. Even now, active, organized, and well-funded groups are working and determined to remove any type of Judeo-Christian influence in America, and they are making new laws that limit and legislate Christianity out of every public forum in our country. These godless acts will further alienate the world from God, but it does not, listen to me, and listen with joy, it does not restrain or restrict the life and relationship of the true believer of God. It's simply a sign of the times. And that's how I want you to look at the situations. When you see and hear that the media has influenced a government, and they do, our media has influenced the sway of society, and they do, our media is trying to dictate to you your moral rights and privileges, or what the Bible says is right or wrong, you have to understand this. This isn't a challenge to you. It is a challenge to God, but God can meet any challenge that's given to him. If you believe that, say amen. You have to understand this merely as a sign of the times. The Bible says in the last days these things will occur, and so what we should do is this. This isn't a time to hunker down for the storm and nail down our windows and shut everything up from the coming storm. This is a time for us to become stronger and more and deeper in relationship with the Holy Spirit of God than we've ever been in our life. You see, the one area in church Christendom today that I'm watching as a trend, and you have to be very careful about church trends. I spoke about that this morning when I read this in entirety. You have to be very careful about popular trends in the church world today, because trends are extremely dangerous in the fact that many of them are trends that are not godly in their origin. And so we have to be very aware of the things that are going on around us. This is a defining year, and I believe that with all of my heart. I believe we're so close to the coming of Jesus Christ that this year is going to be a defining year in your life. Either by choosing to or not doing anything, there's going to be change in your life this year. I think you can sit back and join an idol Christian group in America today, attend church and say everything's fine and not have any responsibility. But one of the things that God teaches us is a responsibility to the gospel. We have a responsibility to God. Blessings just don't come. Blessings come through faithful acts. God isn't beholden to us for anything. When his son died for us and gave us eternal life, God took care of any kind of thing that we could possibly ask for by giving us eternal life. Everything else is based on the love of God to us and nothing less. If you're a Christian today and waiting for any kind of notice or acceptance from the world, you're going to be in for a long, disappointing wait. This year of recovery is specifically for true followers of Jesus, and it's real. In the next several Sundays, I said this morning, I'm going to present to you with 10 truths for your life. And they are more than goals. This is about making decisions to safeguard you and your family's lives against an ever-increasing deception that has found its way into the church but cannot be detected without the active relationship of the Holy Spirit. That's what I was referring to before. The big thing in Christianity today is substitute theology. And substitute theology has permeated the church today. And the one area that the church is substituting is a substitution of the power. The Bible says that in the last days that there will be a form of godliness. It's going to appear. Now, it's not talking about the world. When Paul talks to Timothy and says in the last days there will be doctrines of demons, he's not talking about doctrines in the world. He's talking about in the church, where the world has flooded or has invaded or has incorporated itself in Christianity. And Christianity, the term, has taken a back step to a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's the number one problem in Christianity today, is trying to function as a child of God absent the relationship of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, it is an impossible feat. You must work in and through the Holy Spirit in your life in order to be able to function as a child of God. Jesus set it up this way, and it's the way He wants it for us to be. He's provided us the Holy Spirit. When you're saved, you become a temple of the Holy Spirit, and He indwells in you. And trying to function outside of that relationship is a hollow existence that is a form of godliness, but the Bible says that denies the power, the capital P, the power of God or the Spirit of God. And so what I'm doing in my personal life, not that I've waned from it, but I'm going to grow greater, is I'm growing in a greater relationship with the Holy Spirit. And in that relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to find things in my life that He's going to reveal to me and discern to me that I need to do that will change me more into the image of Christ and make me more profitable, not only to the kingdom of God, but a better individual. You see, I believe that your mental health can be affected by your spiritual health. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, look at the world today that's absent from God. When you see the world today that's absent of God, there is an enormous problem with mental illness. And it's not crazy. It's depression. It's oppression. It's people that have lost hope and forgiven and given up because they have no hope. But I can tell you this. When you know the God I know and you serve Jesus, the one who died for me, I can tell you that in the middle of the darkest of nights, in the middle of the deepest tragedy, in the greatest sorrow that you ever experience, you can have joy in Jesus' name. And that's opposite of anything the world can offer me. There's no hope for the future without Christ. There's no hope for tomorrow without Jesus. And we take this in, and sometimes I think we come in with such an understanding of what we have, we grow kind of apathetic. We're at the point to where we have Jesus, we know that, and there's no need to do any work. But I'm talking about 10 things in your life this year that if you'll look at and concentrate on these 10 things, when you get this outline, you're going to see what I'm going to be preaching that's literally going to change your life. The relationship of the Holy Spirit's vital. I'm convinced that you will not be able to separate truth from lies without the Holy Spirit. Opportunities from traps without the Holy Spirit. Godly wisdom from social values without the Holy Spirit in your life. Sacrificial lives from self-seeking existence without the Holy Spirit. Without this kind of commitment, given the deceptive spirits that are already actively working in the church today, you'll become an easy mark for false doctrines and ultimately the false Christ without the Holy Spirit's help in your life. The Bible says that there will be doctrines of devils and the church in the last days, and we are there. If you believe that, say amen. I gave you 8 things that God said are warning points. I'll let you get those. I won't reiterate those tonight. But I also have 10 areas of our life that God says if you'll consecrate yourself and concentrate on these spiritually, that these are 10 areas that will not only sustain you, but they will ensure recovery in your life in this coming year. Now, when I say recovery, a lot of people say, I know exactly what happened to me. I know what the devil took away, and I know this. But here's the thing that the Holy Spirit really showed me that was enlightening to me. He said there's a whole area of things and areas in your life that you're not even aware of that are yours that you haven't laid claim to because of the enemy has blinded you or in some way kept from you the truth of what's actually yours. You see, I believe God has given us much, much more than we're laying claim to right now. And it's time for the church to begin to recover the things that the enemy has hidden from the church. Here are the 10 messages again. And you're going to hear this for 10 weeks, so you'll know it. You'll be able to recite them with me. But bear with me. I want us to understand. The first thing that God gave me was this. Without this fundamental truth, without this foundation, it will be impossible for you to go to the next level with God in any area. And it's something that the world today has put such a minimal value on that we have become we've become infected by the thoughts of the world today. And we've listened and been aware of what's going on in the world today in such a way that we have become desensitized to the truth of the word in many areas. The church has been desensitized. And sin isn't as bad as sin used to be in some areas because sin has grown in other areas. So we have to be very aware, and the Holy Spirit is the awareness that we have of what is sin and what is not and things that we can look for in our life. Here's the first message this morning and this evening I'm consecrating on. This Sunday is personal purity. Without personal purity, it will be impossible for you to go any further in this walk with God. The second week, next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on prayer. And I want to tell you, you want to be here for that. I am going to tell you some of the most exciting things that you can even imagine about what prayer can and will do in your life once you give yourself to prayer. Prayer is going to change your thinking. Prayer is going to enlighten you to the future that God has for you and the present that God has for you. Prayer is going to be a time of coming into the presence of God where you literally have the mind of God. And it is the closest, most intimate time of relationship that you'll grow in God. You're going to learn that you can't get enough or have enough time alone with God. And when you do, there's going to be consequences to you in a good way and consequences to the devil in a bad way. And we're going to go on the offensive with prayer. If that sounds good, say amen. The next one is commitment to your church. We have a laissez-faire. There's a lot of different types of leadership, and that's one. A very laid-back, easy relationship in order with commitment to our church. And these are some people say, now, Pastor, this morning you stopped preaching and started meddling. I didn't really at all. I was just talking about the importance. I'm going to continue about personal purity in your life. The importance of prayer, the importance of commitment to your church, where God has placed you, this year in 2014, I want you to make a commitment to God that this is my church. I'm going to be involved in this church, and I'm going to serve you in this church. This is where you put me. This is where you place me. And you said, as the time approaches of my return, even more be faithful in the house of God. Even more attend the house of God. And I'm going to make that a priority in my life, and I commend you tonight for being here. The next one, number four, is tithing. The power of tithing in the life of the believer. It's impossible for you to have a full relationship with Jesus Christ and withhold his tithe that's his. It's impossible for you to expect God to bless you when you don't do the minimum that God asks. And he only asks you for one reason, so he can bless you. It's a commandment with blessing. And once you learn, once you become free and your money isn't your money anymore, it's God's money, you're going to find how God will bless your finances in ways that you never dreamed possible. The next one's a deepening relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I've got an incredible book that Rod Jetton gave me that we're printing, and it's the relationship with the Holy Spirit and how to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't understand. It was written many years ago. Dr. Shockley had it, and we're reprinting it, and we're going to make it possible for everyone. I saw it. I said, everybody in this church needs to see this. It tells you and explains to you how God uses this gift that's yours for the asking. See, this is part of the things that Satan has kept away. He's told you that you don't spiritually qualify, or you have done something in your past, or you just aren't one of those ones in this spiritual lottery that's going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And some of you have done without this incredible gift and godly thing because of a lie from the devil. But we're going to unclose that and bring that open and make those available to anyone who doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you hunger for that baptism, and you read and understand this, I can guarantee you this 100%, God will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. For those of you who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit many years ago, and that's some archaic relic that you've placed on the mantle of medals and great things and accomplishments, we're going to get it down and brush it off and get the activity of the Holy Spirit back active in your life again. Does that sound all right? Well, I was coming into church this evening. Ruth's working in the nursery. When I came into church this evening, I've been thinking about this. We just haven't had the money. We need a new sign really bad out in front. We need two things. I need $600 to take care of a set of earphones for him that's broken, because this morning he about drove me nuts. I was distracted because of the sound of the monitor, and I was blaming it on Dr. Jones, and the problem was Dr. Jones was the problem because his earphones are broken. They cost $600. We need a new sign too. Our sign is dirty and the bulbs are not good. And Ruth said what I've been thinking. I want to put a new sign up there, right the same size we had, that says the Sanctuary of Hope, a Pentecostal church. I want the world to know. It'll keep people that don't want to come. It won't infringe on them. But for people that are hungry, I want this church to be known as a church that uses love to the ultimate to preach the truth of God to the ultimate. And you can walk in here and be filled with the glory and the joy of Jesus Christ by righteous living. That's yours, and that's what we're going to accomplish this year. You're going to have a renovation of your life. You're going to look at your life in a way you haven't. Commitment to God and commitment in every way. The next one is limiting worldly influence in your life. We're going to start limiting worldly access to our minds. The battlefield of your life is right here between your ears, and God doesn't want some of the things that you're allowing in your life to be in your life. Listen to me and listen closely. There is not one sitcom on television today that's pure for a child of God to listen to, not one. They're not funny, they're blasphemous. They give us morals that are not morally right before God. They promote promiscuity and sex and sin, and they're not right for a believer. And if you've got a favorite sitcom you're watching this year, if you want to move ahead with God, purity, I'm going to talk about in a minute, is something. Click it off and turn Andy Griffith on. They still pray on the Andy Griffith Show, and it's good stuff. Half Gun Will Travel. The Rifleman. I've got a list of godly things if you want to hear them. Just come and see me. I watch them all the time. The Cooking Channel, sometimes. Number seven is becoming a godly influence to others. An influence on our life, when we reach that state, that we say, God, we want our life to be pure. We pray before you. We've committed our life to where you've sent us, to church. We're tithing. We have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. We've eliminated the influence of the devil that twists and torments our mind and gives us wrong thoughts and wrong ideas. And God, now I want you to use me as an influence. Wherever I go, Father, I want the Holy Spirit to be active in my life in such a way that I can walk into an area, and you're going to use me, Father, for the glory of the kingdom of God, for whatever it is. I've got several things I can do. I can till some ground. I might be the one that plants the seed. I might be the one that waters it, or I just might be the one that harvests it. But God, use me in one of the vital areas of telling someone how to stay out of a dark eternal hell and enter the joy and the glory of a child of the living God. Leading people to Jesus using your personal testimony. I'm going to teach you how important your testimony is. It's tailor-made for you. And as God has tailor-made your life by divine origin, before you were in your mother's womb, He knew you. He directed you. He has a pattern for your life. And when you take your life story, He's going to put you in contact with people that it will affect them in the way they're looking for something that's real in their life. We're all different. If I would ask you who wants a chocolate milkshake or my favorite, a butterscotch milkshake, really, there's no comparison. But if I would ask you, some would say chocolate. How many wants chocolate in here? All right. And those of you who say I'm not eating them because I'm going to fast, just take a break a second here. How many would like a butterscotch one? Anybody want a strawberry one? You see, we're different. Our taste buds, we think they act the same, but I don't know how chocolate tastes to you. I know how it tastes to me. But I know it's good. But I know that there are things in my life that's specific to me, that when I meet someone, that because of the things that's happened in my life, by God's design, that I may say something to you that's just kind of a little watering, may make you feel good or something. And it might be that I can say something about my personal walk with God. I don't have to have a big story. They didn't have to write a book or a movie about me. Here's the truth. I was lost and Jesus saved me. And I know the difference of being lost and the difference of being found. And I can tell my story, and it might be that we're both butterscotch malts. And when I do, you're going to say, I understand that. And I might be the one that becomes the harvester in that life. But in any case, believe me, whatever flavor you are, it's going to be good. Some are just going to work better with people. using your personal testimony. Number 9, encouraging people to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. When's the last time that you've talked to someone and said, you know, the truth is you need the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you remember when you were baptized in the Holy Ghost? You remember what you were like before you baptized in the Holy Ghost? You're a Christian. You're on your way to heaven. Nothing could stop that. But you know the power that changed it? You're the first one to be baptized in the Holy Ghost in your family? Yes, sir, you are. But you're going to make sure there's other people that are saved on the way to heaven. Your daddy's in heaven. Your sister's in heaven because of the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Don't minimize the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. You're going to come to a point that you're going to be so in love with God and on top in this walk with God that people are going to say, what is it about you, Rod, that's different? You're going to say, I can tell you this. I was lost, and Jesus forgave me and exonerated me and gave me new life, and he baptized me in the Holy Spirit of God, and I spoke in tongues, and I regularly communicate with him with that power, and they're going to be drawn to that power through your life, and that's something I think the church needs to be active in today like they've never been before. We need to be promoting Pentecost like we did on the day of Pentecost. We need to be telling people that this new thing, this gift that God has given, is a life changer. It's a power structure. It gives you the ability to discern right and wrong. It gives you the ability to witness. It gives you the ability to stand when it gets difficult. It gives you strength and power that you haven't had. And it gives you the ability to preach directly or pray directly into the presence of the Almighty God in absolute perfection when you're praying in tongues. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. This Pentecostal experience is real. It's an old song that used to sound like that, and I believe it. It's real if you do say amen. Amen. And the last thing, number 10, is going to be understanding and using the power of fasting in your life. If you don't think fasting is important, let me explain something to you. The city of Nineveh was a godless city. Emily, straighten up now. I love it when babies cry in church. I want us to have more. I'm going to help. We're going to have 2 more this year just so babies will be crying. Nineveh was as godless a place as existed on the earth. Jonah was given a mandate from God. I've stood on the very stretch of shore where Jonah was vomited up by a whale, and he started a 6-day journey across the countryside to this land, which is now Baghdad, as you know it, or Iraq. Just outside the city of Baghdad is the ruins of Nineveh. Jonah goes to this place, and when he comes with an anointing on his life because he had this. Listen, he had everything I'm preaching to you that happened. First, he had to have a point of surrender and obedience and sacrifice to God. And he, through his looking at himself and purifying himself, qualified himself for the anointing of God. And his obedience brought him to Nineveh. When he comes to Nineveh, this huge, massive city, they see him, they respond. It was not just what he looked like. I like these theologians today that try to do everything but say that God's anointing did it. The latest thing that I've heard that I think is incredibly hilarious is that he had been in the stomach of a whale for 3 days. And the stomach acids in the whale had bleached him out until he was as white as a ghost. And so when he walked into Nineveh, it scared them and they paid attention to him. I guess you can say that. I guess you can say that over the cosmos of the years, millions and billions of years, gases came together. And they were pressed together by cosmic forces until they made a solid mass, and they were hot, and then they cooled down, and then it rained one day, and an amoeba became a monkey, and a monkey wanted a Cadillac, and that's me today. I guess you can say that if you want to, but I believe that God spoke it, and there was light. I believe that the supernatural God that's greater than anything we can even fathom in our mind He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, and it's not even entered in the imagination of the greatest movie sets that's ever been created. I've got a place for you that's a jaw dropper, and it's for you. That's just some of his creation. He is greater than that. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I have this idea that God has prepared for me this powerful, powerful presence that's greater than anything the world can imagine. I don't believe that it was the fact that he had gone through a body bleaching that caused people to listen. I believe it was an act like I'm going to do this year in my life of total obedience to the will of God that put the anointing of God on his life. And when he walked in, there was a presence of the Holy Spirit that a city stood up and took notice to, because he's the one that said in 3 days there'll be a destruction, or in a short time there'll be a destruction on this city that will not be recoverable. And God put it in the hearts of pagan people to fast before God. I'm telling you that a 3-day fast changed a nation. Not only did Nineveh have a revival, but rabbinic history tells you that Nineveh had not only a revival, but a 100-year revival that tens of thousands accepted God Jehovah as their God. And the remnant of those people are the ones that are in Baghdad today. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I have a friend by the name of George Assad. He's a general. He was a general in the army of Iraq. He was over the Air Force of Iraq. He's written a great book. I've sat with George. I've talked with George. He was one of the 13 that sat at a circle with Saddam Hussein when you saw it on television. And Saddam Hussein would ask those men, what's the wisdom to do? And George would stand up in the power of the Holy Ghost. No, he couldn't have been a Christian and been with Hussein. He was. Joseph was, and Daniel was. He was placed there by God. And Saddam Hussein would ask him, he would tell him. George told me that Saddam Hussein looked in his eyes and said, the only reason you're alive is because 17 times I have asked you a question, and 17 times you've been different from the rest of my men, and 17 times you've been right. That is the power, that is the active power of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer. Boldness and power and confidence in God, that's yours, that you're going to have this year, in this year of recovery. He said, God told him the night of the bombing. He was in bed. He said, George, get out of bed. You just have seconds. He got out of his bed, put his boots on, and went into the conference room. And at that time, one of those drilling bombs came in. He's a friend of Pastor Dave's. The bomb exploded, and a 2,000-pound chunk of concrete landed on his bed where he'd been laying 2 minutes before. God preserved him, brought him out, and he's in the United, comes to the United States and preaches the power and the glory of God now. What is it? Because a man by the name of Jonah was obedient to the word of God, and God has remnant and lasting experience that cannot be improved on. It's God's word. We're going to find out what a 3-day fast did for Nineveh that changed them. A 3-day fast in your life. I'm not going to have to beg or ask people how many people will take a week this year. Although we did have a great response, we're going to have it fully covered. But next year when we ask, the entire church is going to stand and say, put me down for 1 week during the year. Plus the week we're on right now. I'm fasting. I'm going to be fasting till February the 5th. I'm doing this because, not because of some fear factor or some recipe, religious recipe. I'm fasting because I love Jesus Christ, and I'm telling him, I'm putting you above anything in my life. And when you live that kind of life, he will respond to you. But it first takes personal purity. That's where it all starts. There's verses all through the Word of God about the importance. Psalms chapter 24, verse 3 through 5. Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Those, listen to this, those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who do not put their trust in an idol or swear by false god. These, they will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. There's a promise in Psalms right here for you. Psalms 51, verse 9 through 11. A psalm's written when David had sinned with Bathsheba and needed God in his life. He had failed and he needed God to help him. If you fail, this is a year of recovery. Psalm said this in 51, David wrote this, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast your presence from me or take your Holy Spirit from me. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Philippians 19, 9 through 11 says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want to live a life that's pure before God. If you do, say amen. Amen. Two examples very quickly in the Word of God. When Jesus was entering Jericho, there was a man there that had a life that had a high position. He was accepted by society, but he was in deep trouble with God because of his impurity in his life. His name was Zacchaeus, and he was as many things as we call them. He was an honest politician. That's an oxymoron if you didn't catch that. Are there honest politicians? We know there are. Senator Jason Rayford is one that we know and love. John Ashcroft is one that we know and love. I can tell you that 8 years I traveled with him as close as any human being in the world. I had one job, and that was to get between him and the bullet. That was my job, if there was a threat on his life. And in 8 years of every backroom meeting, and in 8 years of every kind of meeting that no one was around, that he had all the freedom in the world to be what he wanted to, not one time in 8 years did John David Ashcroft ever compromise his walk with Jesus on any level. I witnessed it. He can be your hero. There are men of God left in America. Amen. I want this church to be filled with men of God. Amen. This man, Zacchaeus, was far from that. Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree because he was a short little feller and he wanted to see Jesus. He climbed to look down, and Jesus knew him before his birth, was on a rendezvous mission with him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down, because today you and I are going to have lunch together. Zacchaeus, from the time he let go of the branch of that sycamore tree to the time he hit the ground, became a child of God. He had a change. He had a purity that came into his life. This is the value of purity. I talked to you this morning, and I was very straight about things that are not pure. But let me just tell you about the value of purity tonight. When you're pure before God, your thought life is pure before God. When your mind is pure before God. When your motives are pure before God. And everything you do runs through the test screen of the Holy Spirit to be pleasing to God. Not only will you be mentally healthier, you're going to be physically healthier because of the stress of life that's been on you won't be there, because you're going to trust in God to make up the deficit for things that honesty do. You say, today, if you're honesty, it'll cost you. It'll cost God, and he's got a big bank account. He'll take care of you if you'll be honest. You won't lose anything in honesty that God won't give back to you spiritually. He hits the ground, And the Bible says Zacchaeus stopped and said, this is chapter 19 of the book of Luke 8, chapter verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll give it back to them four times." And Jesus said to him, "Purity's come to your heart today. Salvation's come to your life. You have a pure mind. You have a regenerated, reborn, new birth thought life in your mind today." Do you remember when you were first saved? Anybody can go back to the day you became a baby in Jesus. I'm going to tell you, when you became a baby in Jesus, the last thing you wanted to do was sin. And we've come to a point now to where it ain't so bad, or it's not, well, it's not as bad as this. And we've used this reverse psychology of the world that we've become desensitized by sin, and we've allowed things to come in our mind that aren't pure. But when you get your mind pure with God, you're going to think right, act right, feel right, and be right. Your relationship with Jesus is going to change everything around you. He said the most hilarious things in the world. He said, "Half of everything I own, I'm going to give to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone," that's the laughing point. That's where you say, ha ha, right there. Because that's all he did was cheat people. He said, "I'm going to return to them four times what I've had." What he said was this: "I'm going bankrupt for Jesus. And don't mind it a bit. Every dollar I make from this point on is going to be an honest dollar. And I'm going to tithe on that. And I'm going to have the joy and the peace and the freedom of my relationship with Jesus Christ." And Jesus went to his house. And Zacchaeus became a lifelong follower of Jesus Christ because he had purity in his mind. John chapter 4, Jesus tells his men, "Go on in to the city." They're starving to death. They got to have a McDonald's. They're about to have a fit because they're so hungry. He says, "Go on, get some food and bring it back to me." He stations himself prior to the coming of a Samaritan woman who was defiled to be in the very presence of a Jew. They were not loved. They were hated by the Jews. And a Samaritan woman who not only is hated, but she's a prostitute. She'd been married five times. She was living with a man now, and she wasn't married to him. She was living in adultery, fornication, and everything else. She was the biggest mess in town, and no one had any time for her. And Jesus is waiting on her to give her purity. She says, comes to the well with her water pot, Jacob's well. So he strikes a conversation about Jacob's well, because over the hundreds of years the Samaritans had been there since the Babylonian takeover of Israel. The Samaritans had generationally grown to follow Jesus, or follow Jehovah, even though she wasn't. She knew about God. And he said to her, "Give me a drink of water." And she goes, "I don't understand this. I'm a woman. You're a rabbi, obviously, and I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. These things don't add up. Let me tell you something. Listen to me and be thankful for what I'm going to tell you. Jesus doesn't play fair." And you better be glad he doesn't. If he did, you'd be a crispy critter right now, every one of you. Me too. Because we all deserve death. We don't deserve life. We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve anything from God. He's holy and we're not. But Jesus was waiting. He stationed himself for her. And I'm going to tell you this, and I want you to listen to me. I want to encourage you with this. God has stationed himself in your life because you're in this church and God has given me this message. Say, "Well, this is the only church that's preaching it." That is baloney. I've been talking to preachers all over the United States, and God has given them a like message that I preach to you today. Rita Sanders taught her Sunday school class this morning, and I didn't know what she's teaching. She didn't know what I was preaching, and she touched on the 10 points that I want for the church this morning. Pastor Brad last night had a dream from God, and in that dream, he dreamed what I preached this morning. God's confirming his word. It's not just this church. It's men and women of God that are leading churches across America today that are preparing a bride that's going to be happy and dressed and full of the Holy Spirit of God, ready for the return of the bridegroom. And this church is going to be one of those churches. full of the power of God. She's standing there. He's positioned himself. He's done it in your life this year. I want you to watch for this. You will come with every excuse in the world why God shouldn't bless you. I'm a Samaritan. I'm a woman. I've been married 5 times. I don't know if I've ever been divorced or, I guess I have, and I'm living in adultery now and fornication. I have no right to your involvement in my life. There's not one of you in the sound of my voice that can get out of the realm of the mercy of God. It's far greater than any sin you ever thought of or dreamed of or anyone on this earth. There's mercy extends beyond the sins of mankind and your failures. So you can't come up with an excuse why. He said to her, give me a drink of water. She said, well, okay, but here's my excuses. And then he said, go call your husband. We hadn't got into that area yet. And she said, I don't have one. Boy, is that not a political answer. She didn't. She had 5 and she's living with a guy. And here's what Jesus did. This is why purity is so important in your life. Jesus made her come face to face with her failures. And until you come face to face with your failures, you'll never move into a place of freedom in Jesus. It doesn't mean you live in them. You don't waller in them. You don't remind yourself every day. But you come to a confrontation with your failures. Jesus requires that for you to move on. And he only requires it one time. But he requires you to come to that place of confrontation. These are the things in my life that are impure right now. These are the areas in my life that are causing me to be separated from relationship with you right now. I can use all my excuses, but excuses won't work. The only thing that works, the only truth that works is this. The only truth that works is that when you come face to face with your failures with the world will crush you. And the world will chew you up and spit you out. But the only safe place for you to come face to face with your failures, Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, is with Jesus. You can come face to face with your failures to Jesus, and he won't destroy you. He will cause you to recover the purity that you've lost. But it comes to that confrontation. You have to be able. He'll draw it out of you. You'll say, I don't have a husband. He'll say, that's true. You've had 5, and the man you're living with now isn't your husband. And she goes, oh, it's all out there now. I don't have to play games anymore. Have you ever played games with God? Anyone besides me? But I don't have to play games anymore. I can come face to face with Jesus with my failures, and I can tell him, you know anyway, you're more aware of them than I am. And when I do, he'll say this, you're forgiven. He took a woman caught in the very act of adultery. And he began to write down some things in the sand that I don't know if we'll ever know. Maybe in heaven. I don't know if I'll care when I get to heaven. I'm curious now. But he wrote some things down that the oldest from the youngest of the Pharisees and the scribes saw it, and they go, oops. Can't handle that, and they walked away. And he's standing there with a woman in obvious sin. Strange the man wasn't there, but the woman was. It was a trap. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she looked up and said, well, there's no doubt about it. I'm guilty. I was caught. I didn't come repenting. I didn't come saying I'm sorry for my sins. I was trapped. I was caught. But they're out in the open now. However God brings your impurities in your life out in the open, let him do it with him. Because with Jesus you're safe. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and stop this nonsense. Because look what it brought you. There's no impurities in your life tonight that'll bring you what it promises. It will not bring joy. It will not bring peace. It will not bring sufficiency in any way. It won't bring satisfaction in any way. It'll bring guilt and sorrow and death. That's all it'll bring you. But when you say, God, I'm going to start living a life that's pure, not by the definitions of the world, but by God's definitions in my life. I'm going to start living a life of holiness, not by the definitions of churches, what holiness, but holiness by definition of God alone. I'm changing my life, and 10 areas of my life, we're going to consecrate our lives to this year. And the very first thing, God, for me to be able to achieve the other things that you have for me, God, the very first thing is going to have to be personal purity. I have to make the decision to make my mind and my life pure and my motives pure in everything I do. Not worrying about acceptance or rejection or any other level of measure other than meeting that measure of holiness with God. Personal purity, prayer, commitment to your church, tithing, deepening your relationship with the Holy Ghost, limiting worldly influence in your life, becoming a godly influence to others, leading people to Jesus with your testimony, encouraging people to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and understanding and using the power of fasting. How many believe this is from God for 2014? God is going to change your life this year. He's going to do it in a way that's going to astound you. Stand to your feet with me, would you please? There are some warning points on here. There are 8 warning points that I read, and I won't read them again tonight, but 8 warning points that you need to look out for and be aware. But when you decide tonight, here's the incredible thing about God. Now, I want you to listen to me very closely. You say, Pastor, what happens if I don't get to the 10th sermon? What happens if I don't get to the 3rd one, or I miss because I'm sick and I don't get it? Well, number one, we got tapes. Number two, and I want you to listen, this is a principle, a spiritual principle you need to be aware of. God wants you to be your best. He wants you to be your best. He encourages you. He offers help and strength and power for you to be your very best. This is God's will for your life. To be your very best for Him. But when you, and this is a spiritual principle that you need to understand, you say, well, Pastor, you have to qualify, and I need to hurry up and preach on this one because I'm okay on these 3, but this one I have trouble with. No, listen. And this is a truth from God. When God sees the intent of your heart, God measures your heart by the intent of your heart. Tonight, if you say, Pastor, it's my desire to do my best to meet these areas that you talked about this year in my life. When you say, Pastor, it's my desire to follow these things that I believe the Holy Spirit of God has given you and that I can grow in my life in. When you say, it's my desire, God will start His blessing on your life right now. That's where God's not fair. Does it mean I don't have to do these other things? No, you're going to have the list, and you're going to see them and say, God, I want to, as I'm instructed and I learn, as I'm taught the things I don't know about these things, there's some areas that I might not know, but God, you're going to give that word through the Holy Ghost to the pastor, and he's going to give it to me. But I'm reading this list, and God, these are 10 areas that I want to change in my life. Your desire for righteousness will cause God's blessing on your life. Do you understand that you can't do anything to be more righteous? I mean, you can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't take a popularity test or an aptitude test. It's by the mercy of God that you have what you have. But you can qualify yourself for blessings in God's kingdom. And these are things that when you say, God, my heart is to be everything I can be because I am going to live a year of recovery in my life. confidence, power, strength, power in the Holy Ghost, and all the things that I've read, wealth and health and different areas. But God, I'm going to trust you that you're going to bring those in my life. And I'm going to have an impact on the lives of other people spiritually like I've never had. Manifestations from the Holy Spirit like I've never had. A renewing relationship with the Holy Spirit of God where I commune with God, and that closeness that's worth more than a king's ransom in my life, I'm going to gain this year. There's no gimmicks or games to it. It's simply surrendering, obedience, and sacrifice in the life of the believer. Now let me ask you on this Sunday night, if that's your heart to do, and I don't mean to embarrass anyone tonight, because if you're honest and don't want to, that's, I understand. So it's not meant to embarrass you, but I'm not going to take a chance and not offer opportunity. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, these are things that I want. I want this year of recovery to be active in my life right now. I want you to gather around the front with me right now, and we're going to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. We're going to ask Him. You say, I'm already pure. I know you are, but God, listen to me. God can do more. When none of us have ever reached a point, Paul said, I strive toward the prize of the high calling. I'm always moving toward what I want with God. But if you really, truly are hungry to grow in God, and we have some great men and women of God here tonight. I know that. Some that need very little tweaking. But then you got me. And I know my weaknesses. I know where I need tweaked in my life. And I have decided, because of what the Holy Spirit spoke to me this year, to gain everything I can gain from Jesus. I'm asking Him to make me more hungry for relationship with Him than I've ever had in my life. A greater depth of understanding, greater revelation, greater truth than I've ever experienced before in my life. And I believe this with all my heart, that God is going to do something in your personal life, and He's going to do something in this church that's going to be a drawing card to the community, that we're going to see people that are lost on their way to hell come to this house and find new life and be saved and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But He's going to do something in your lives that's going to be spectacular. How many was just raising your hands right now and surrender and say, God, that's me. I want it right now. It's going to have to be you that say it. I can't say it for you. But it's going to be you saying it that's going to trigger God in your life, because all He needs to see is desire on your part. A desire to say, Father God, these are the areas. I'm going to start with this thing Pastor said. Personal purity, the things that enter my mind, the things I see, the things I hear. I'm going to limit this kind of influence. I'm going to stop some things. I'm going to do everything I can, Lord, not to be some thing that's not realistic, but God, to live my life, but to live it with the peace and the joy and the purity of God in my life. Lord, this is the first step, is that I'm going to purify my heart in every way I can. God, this is what starts it. This is what begins it. I'm going to start praying, Lord, in times that I haven't, more than I have, seeking you, looking to you, committing to you, giving to you, being what I am in you. And God, you're going to begin to show me areas that I didn't even know that were mine, that you're going to tell me to start praying for, and I'm going to start seeing things, God, recovering areas in my life, bringing back joy that hasn't been there, and confidence, bringing back the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing back the boldness and the health that I've forfeited, the freedom and the power, spiritual exploits, God, that I didn't even know you had in my life for me to do? Preaching, teaching, singing, testifying, witnessing, God, praying for people. God, these are things you want your church to be active in. Oh, God, they need that confidence, and it only comes this way. As we purify ourselves with you, mighty God, you are faithful. I just pray right now, God, in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, I pray that you give discernment to these people, that when things are presented to them that would challenge the purity of God in their life, that God, in Jesus' name, you would quicken them to say no. It'll be their choice, their decision. But they're going to say no to impurity in their life in any form or any fashion. Daniel did it, and you blessed him. He didn't eat the king's meat. Joseph did it, and you blessed him. Even though he suffered, God, you were training him to be the king of Egypt. And you blessed him for his purity in his heart. God, you'll continue to bless as people are purifying their lives tonight. I thank you and I praise you. Now let's just thank him together. Everyone just praise him. Just say, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do for me this year. Thank you for how you're going to change my life this year. Thank you how you're going to redesign me this year. And I'm going to live a life, I'm going to be a vessel that is acceptable to you, that you can pour in the oil of the Holy Spirit of God, that I can pour it out on the lives of others. Holy Ghost, I thank you and I praise you. We honor you in this house. We ask you, Holy Spirit of God, to be present and manifest yourself. Jesus, we thank you as the baptizer that gives us this strength and power in our life. Father God, we owe honor and glory to you for all the things you have done. Great things have you done. Praise God. Hallelujah. My friends, listen.